Let's see here. All right, well, I didn't know they were going to be singing that this evening, but it kind of goes along a little bit with what I'm planning on speaking about. Get the right notes here. All right. So I think last time I was up here, I talked a little bit about the church and how we can all try to take part in things that need to be done around here in ministry, but even having part of the ministry. And I want to kind of continue along that thought this evening. Before I do, I'm going to go ahead and open up prayer and ask God for help. All right. Dear God, we thank you again for all your many blessings. And for all you've done for us, I pray you just be with us this evening and help me with the thoughts given me to be able to bring them out the way you'd have me deliver it. And I pray that you'd be able to use what it said to be a help and encouragement to those listening. And I pray you just give us a good evening, continue to bless the rest of the service. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's just a lot that can be dealt with about the church. Pretty much the whole New Testament is for the church, how we should live the Christian life, but specifically about how the church should be able to be one. I know preacher wanted to really emphasize love one for another, and hopefully he'll be able to get to that message of what he had gathered for that. It was a while ago he challenged us to study out the book of Acts, which deals a lot with the starting of the church. And I want to kind of start there, a couple of verses that I came across in the book of Acts. And then I'll get into the portion of Scripture that I try to deal with. Acts 2, there's two chapters here. A couple verses in each chapter. Kind of go along with each other, kind of saying the same things, but kind of get a good starting point here of what I want to try to talk about. So Acts 2 and verse 44, again, this is, we're talking about the beginning of the church. It's after Pentecost, and people are getting saved and added to the church. Verse 44 says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from the house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And again, I'll go ahead and read this next couple of verses. Like I said, they kind of go hand in hand. So chapter 4 of Acts and starting in verse 31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said of them what that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down before the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I just thought that these two passages were pretty amazing, how the church started out. Everyone just selling what they had and giving among each other, and no one did without. No one had needs. They were all met by their fellow Christians in the church, and through the leading of the Holy Spirit and the apostles, distributing things among the people. And there are a couple things I want to point out here. It mentioned in both passages about how they are all of one accord, one mind. They are all working together for each other. And I know last time I was up here, I kind of briefly made reference to some of those things. And like I said, there's so much that can be said about the church and the fact that none of them went without. They all took care of each other. And through the study, I just kind of went back to the church being the body of Christ. And again, the last time I got up here and spoke, I used Romans 12. It doesn't specifically mention, well, it does mention in verse 4, being for we are have many members in one body, and all members not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And like I said, I used this chapter last time I was up here and was talking about how we all are given specific jobs, gifts to help in the ministry and church, building the church. And the more I studied about it, again, the Bible uses, has several references referring to the church as the body of Christ. And if we really study the body, the human body, the Bible tells us in Psalms 139:14, verse 14, talks about how we should praise God, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I mean, there's a lot of scientific study we can learn and know about our bodies and what they can do, how it all works together to sustain life. And you can, the more you study and look into that, the more you can see how it applies, or it should apply, to our Christian life, and how God not only designed our human body fearfully and wonderfully, but he also designed the body of Christ to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 133:1 also tells us how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And we all know that our body works best when everything's working together and working as it should. And again, it should be the same way with the church, and that's the way God intended it. We see here in Romans 12, like I said, I used that in the last time I was up here, it tells us that we are, being many, we are still one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then it goes into the gifts. And I kind of dealt with sort of the gifts, or what your job part in partaking in the body of Christ could be. But I kind of want to deal kind of in the same thought, but maybe a little different thought on it. Another reference that I really want to use as my main passage is found in 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 12. So if you want to turn there, that's where we'll be most of the rest of the message here. again, dealing with the body of Christ, the church. And it starts, I want to start in verse 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So the whole purpose of being in the body of Christ is to profit, to help the whole body, not just each individual person. Again, the next couple of verses talks about different gifts of the Spirit, which we dealt with in Romans 12. But if you skip down to verse 12, it goes into, again, body is one. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body, of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And so in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." And then it goes into, and I know these verses are familiar with you. It talks about how can the foot, shall the foot, let's just go ahead and read it. It says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling?" So, this next couple of verses is one verses I want to really emphasize here. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." As I made reference before in Psalms, he tells us that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And again, this just shows here that God sets each one of us as to fulfill certain members of the body as it is pleasing to him. We're fearfully and wonderfully made spiritually as well, in the spiritual body of Christ. And then it goes on to say, "And if we are all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." So we all are different, we all have different functions, but we should all be in unity, working together. And the first verse I started in this chapter, to profit all, is to help the body overall. And a couple of the thoughts I had concerning the body is, I mean, when we look at these verses, it makes reference to kind of the obvious, the hands, the feet, the eyes. But there's a lot of parts that's like kind of overlooked that has very important functions, that very important part of the body and needed part of the body. And there's parts of the body you kind of think you wouldn't want to be considered. I mean, some of those I think it even mentions down here, talking about the down in verse 23, it says there's some bodies to be less honorable. And then there's, at the end of that verse, uncomely parts. So there's parts of the body we don't really even think about. And I mean, it goes the same for when I'm thinking about the physical body. You think of the things like if you're wanting to reach for something, it's kind of use your hand to do it, but there's things that kind of do subconsciously. Breathing, you don't have to tell your lungs to breathe in and out. It kind of just happens unnoticed, but it's very important, very much needed. So that thought there kind of, again, making reference to the body of Christ, what would be the purpose of someone being a lung? I mean, someone brings life, and it should be all of us, really, bringing life into the church, breath of fresh air. We should be helping, encouraging each other. Think of, like I said, the uncomely parts, the intestines. I mean, we've got to digest things coming into our lives and get rid of the waste that's not helpful to us, and take in the nutrients and stuff that's good for us that helps us to grow more healthy, more spiritual. Again, another thing you might not consider, the liver, getting rid of the poison toxins. I mean, if you really apply that to the Christian life, I mean, the liver pretty much looks after the rest of the body. I mean, health tries to take out the toxins that would harm the rest of the body. I mean, try to think about that and how that can apply to the Christian life. I mean, we need people in the church that's kind of watching out for each other, and not only, like I said, with the lungs, like bringing in fresh air and encouraging, helping each other, but also keeping out, trying to keep out the bad things that's going to harm others. The Bible tells us to, I don't have, it just came to mind the verse, I don't have the verse, but trying to be an example for those, not a stumbling block, being a help to those that are younger. A preacher talked recently about those being, there's those that are babes and then those that are mature in spiritual life. And those that are mature need to help the younger ones and helping them to get the nutrients they need to grow and to help encourage them to grow and to help keep out the toxins and the things that would cause harm to the church. When we kind of think of these areas of the body of Christ, it should really apply to all of us. As far as being edifying, encouraging, bringing health and growth to the whole body. And this is done through, like I said before, hopefully what Papa will be able to bring to us, and that's through love, one for another. And this next chapter after this one, dealing with the body of Christ, is the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about how we should love each other. And he made reference to it before. It's not all things that you do necessarily. It's also things that you don't do. You're holding back your anger. You're being long-suffering. You're being patient and kind. So there's a lot deals with how we should treat one another. there was a challenge here. Have it marked on in Ephesians. Dealing with the body. And how we should treat each other. The whole purpose, again, like I said, is to help edify, build one another up. It is important to get involved in whatever way we can to help the ministry thrive. But a lot of that has to do with just the spiritual growth of the church. When those two references I made brought up in Acts, yes, it's important to go out, reach the lost, but it really didn't say much about them doing that there. It just talked about them taking care of each other and providing for each other. And then God added to the church. People saw the love that was shown towards each other, the how they the love of God, the caring for each other, and then, of course, obviously, the preaching of God's word brought them in. But once they were in, with the help of the Holy Spirit, they strove to perfect in the body of Christ. And that's the challenge here in Ephesians 4. 4:16. Yep, the whole body. Yep. I was going to start here in verse 11, actually. Ephesians 4:11, talking about how it's kind of more specific jobs that God has placed in the body of Christ. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. But it is all for, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see what the reason it is for God forming this body is these three things here. It's for the perfecting of ourselves. We're working on ourselves to become better Christians. We're obviously working to further the gospel of Christ. And then we're also edifying one another, the body of Christ. And it says, till we all come. The goal of verse 13, the goal of this is, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 14, again, dealing with the growth of the Christian, talking about the baby and the mature Christian, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the body. We know that. He has control of the body, what it does, where it goes, and he is our example and what we who we should be listening to. And if we all have the same mind, the mind being Christ, that's another topic there, having the mind of Christ. We can, having that mind puts us all in that unity that we need to have. Verse 16, where it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So again, it just reiterating that whole thing I just went through about the body. There's every single part, every joint, every joint working fitly joined together, just everything working together as it should. And the whole purpose is to increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And again, back in verse 12, those three things I went through, talking about perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. And so that's it's a challenge for us all to just not only find our part in the ministry of God and helping out in the different work that needs to be done, but also knowing the function, work of us all to be able to work together in unity, to grow spiritually, edify one another in spiritual things, and to grow into what Christ would have us to be, unto that perfect man. The Bible tells us that Christ, being the head of the church, he wants to be able to present a perfect bride, a perfect bride for Christ. So And the way to do that is through all these things in this chapter and that last chapter in 1 Corinthians, working together, perfecting, edifying, helping one another in spiritual matters. So again, we should be involved doing the work of God, but more importantly, we just need to know the function. We should all work together in unity and be one in Christ and be able to have the body, the church, be able to function and work, be able to be used of God to do what he'd have us do in unity and without conflict one another. I was just thinking some other, again, making reference to our personal bodies. I mean, there's a lot of things we do naturally without even, in general, by nature, we try to sustain life. We try to do things that don't harm ourselves or try to keep ourselves healthy. And again, ways that we should apply to the Christian life. I mean, if we scratch our leg on something, we're usually trying to bandage it up, take care of it, heal it. We should be the same way as the body of Christ. We should be able to see a hurt and be able to help each other in that hurt, through that hurt, bring healing. And again, it all has to do with edifying one another, building each other up through the hurts, trials. A lot of prayer requests been mentioned lately, and sure, we should definitely be praying for each need and request, but it goes far beyond that. It goes into being encouragement, being there for the person, helping, edifying them, helping them personally, one-on-one, not just through prayer, but through actual contact and talking and helping the person, whatever need that was. Like I said at the beginning of the message, I thought it pretty amazing when no one did without. I mean, everyone sold everything they possessed and distributed among one another, but far more than just possessions, we should be doing that with every need. We should be able to say that everyone did without in whatever need of their life, not just the, like I said, not just in possessions, but in people should be able to say that they were able to go through a trial with help, with someone beside them, encouraging them, helping them. They should be able to go through a victory with people encouraging them and cheering them on. It's all part of edifying, working together, building each other up. And so that was my thought and challenge for tonight. Again, there's so much study that's been done scientifically about the human body, and every, you can find a spiritual application in all of it. If you study out God's word and just, like I said, God made us fearfully, wonderfully, very intricately, each function working together and coming together to perform different things, and he intended the church to be the same way. And pray that we can each work on being that for each other.